Well, good morning, Trinity Church. It is great to be with you in your home today, and welcome to my home as well. I mean, who would ever have thought that a few months ago that we'd be worshiping this way, but praise God that we have the technology and the ability to do that. Well, today we're going to be looking at the secret to a life of joy, a life of peace, and a life of contentment. Well, we're continuing in our series in Philippians, and last week the Apostle Paul challenged the church, he challenged us, to live as citizens of heaven, conducting yourselves in a manner worthy of the gospel. And we learned that living as citizens of heaven is a battle, which requires a kingdom mindset, unlike the worldly mindset that we were born with. Now, Marvin referred to the battle between these two mindsets last week as the battle of consistency. But today, Paul is going to teach us the secret to winning this battle by developing our kingdom mindset. So I want to begin by going to the end of the book of Philippians and listen to Paul's closing words in the book. This is chapter 4, beginning in verse 12. And this is what he says. I have learned in whatever situation I am to be content. Isn't that beautiful? I know how to be brought low, and I know how to abound. In any and every circumstance, I have learned the secret of facing plenty and hunger, abundance and need. I can do all things through him who strengthens me. Notice I can do all things through him who strengthens me, not me. It is impossible for me in my own strength to develop a kingdom mindset. It really is impossible for me to do anything. It comes only through him. Now, Paul is saying here that he has learned the secret of being content and joyful in every circumstance by trusting and depending on Jesus. Jesus is the only way. In fact, one of the unique things about the book of Philippians, the name Christ is mentioned 39 times. Think about that. Four chapters, 39 times. Paul is obviously making a point here. The focus is on Jesus, and it's only through him that I can have this kingdom mindset. Now, we've seen that in verse 21 of chapter 1, Paul says these words, "For me to live is Christ, and to die is gain." Paul has a kingdom mindset. He's not being controlled by all the worldly things that are going on around him. And we, as heavenly citizens, we've been called to live this radical new lifestyle, but it requires we develop a kingdom mindset. And who better to teach this than Paul? As Marvin mentioned a few weeks ago, he was a man beaten three times, shipwrecked three times. Once he was stoned and left for dead. He was imprisoned multiple times, and he was continuously attacked by his adversaries wherever he went to preach the gospel. And here he is writing a letter on the topic of the secret of being content and joyful in every circumstance. And he's doing this from prison. Paul is demonstrating the radical new lifestyle that you and I as believers can have in Christ. So how can we learn this secret and activate it in our own lives? Well, Paul gives us some insight. Back to chapter 4, verse 9, listen to what he says. What you have learned and received and heard and seen in me, practice these things, and the God of peace will be with you. Notice the three things here: learning, receiving, and practicing. I have to learn. That is, I have to have the right perspective. Oftentimes today, when we hear the word learn, we think information in our head, but I need to have the right perspective. In this divisive political culture we happen to be in today, we can have an event that takes place, but one group of people see one thing. Over on the other side is another group of people who have a different mindset, and they see something entirely different, even though it was the same thing. Learning is more than information in your head. It's having the right perspective, in this case, the spiritual perspective. Now, the word receiving here is not like receiving a gift and thank you, that's great that you gave it to me. The Greek context here, the Greek word, literally means that I am now committed to this new insight, this new perspective that I've been given. And of course, then after I learn about this, I have this new perspective and I'm committed to moving into it, I begin practicing these things. This is what Paul is saying. Paul had to learn this. After all, Paul had the wrong mindset. You may recall, Paul was really a murderer. He was the one who went after Christians and did everything he could to eliminate them. He was moving in that direction. He was on his way to Damascus to round up the Christians. And on the road to Damascus, Jesus intervenes. And this is Paul's conversion story. Paul had a wrong mindset. But over the course of the weeks and months and years to come, he had this new kingdom mindset. And now here he is, the Apostle Paul, teaching Christians everywhere the way to Christ. In fact, in 1 Corinthians 11:1, this is what Paul says, "Be imitators of me as I am of Christ." Jesus showed us a pattern of how we are to live in the kingdom. And Paul has learned how to imitate Christ. And now he's showing and teaching us how to do it. And it all begins with the right mindset. So what does a kingdom mindset look like? Well, the book of Philippians reflects what a kingdom living and a kingdom mindset looks like. And in chapter 2, Paul is going to contrast two mindsets, the worldly mindset and a kingdom mindset. So let's take a look at what this looks like. Let's begin chapter 2, verse 1. "So if there is any encouragement in Christ, any comfort from love, any participation in the Spirit, any affection and sympathy, complete my joy by being of the same mind, having the same love, being in full accord and of one mind." Well, what's Paul teaching us here? Well, again, let's dig into the context of how the Greek language differs from the English language, and let's see if we can have a better understanding of what this means. The word "if" is challenging here, because the word "if" means maybe. Maybe these things are going to happen. But in the Greek, the word "if" really refers to realities that have happened. So the word "if" can be translated as the word "since they have happened." And so what Paul is doing here is he's teaching us that these four realities are present in the life of every true believer in Christ. So they really can be read this way. Since you have been encouraged from being united with Christ, since you have been comforted from his love, since you walk in fellowship with the Spirit, and since you have experienced his tenderness and compassion, have this same mind, have this same love, being in full accord and of one mind. See, the word, the same love for Jesus and for others, being in full accord really means being united in spirit and one mind, the mind of Christ. I'm to have that mind as all believers are. This is why Paul said in Philippians 4:9 that we read a moment ago, "I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me." So this is what a kingdom mindset looks like. Now in verse 3, what we're going to see is what a worldly mindset looks like compared to a kingdom mindset. Verse 3, "Do nothing from selfish ambition or conceit, but in humility count others more significant than yourselves." Now let me just pause there for a moment. Notice what it said. Do nothing out of vain selfish ambition or conceit. This comes from pride. Pride has been referred to as kind of the mother of many different sins. Sins will actually take us away from God, but the sin of pride is uniquely different. This side actually elevates us above God because we want to be in control. So what happens here then is that I'm allowing the things of the world, I want my pride, it is controlling me, and this is one of the foundational parts of our sin nature that causes us to want to pursue the worldly things and to forget about the things of the Lord. But in humility, this is the first step in the kingdom mindset. Notice the rest of this word, in humility, count others more significant than yourselves. A step in humility is me moving towards God. As I humble myself, He begins to work in me. As I submit to His Lordship in my life, He begins to transform me to help me become more like Jesus. What does this look like? Well, let each of you, he says in verse 4, let each of you not only look to your own interests, but also to the interests of others. There's an excellent verse in James chapter 4, verse 12. Listen to what it says. God opposes the proud, but he gives grace to the humble. What is grace? You know, God's grace is, let me give you a quick definition of God's grace. God's grace is his power to do his will in and through my life. But in order for God's grace, for us to receive it, we must position ourselves to receive it. And what we see here is that when we humble ourselves before him, and as we begin to submit him, we are positioning ourselves for his grace to come into our lives to begin to change us. The minute pride takes over, we quench the work of the Spirit, and we flatline in our spiritual growth. So then Paul says this, and here's a very key verse, and back to chapter 2 and verse 5. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. There it is, have this mind. What mind? It is the mind of Christ. In fact, what we've seen over these five verses, three times, Paul refers to the word the mind. Now, if you're a true believer, as citizens of heaven, then you have access to a kingdom mindset. So how many of you would like to sign up for a life of joy and peace and contentment? Okay, right, yes, hit the chat button, or maybe no, maybe. Whatever you want, just go ahead and hit the button and answer the question. So here's the big idea this morning. Every true believer can live a life of joy and peace and contentment by developing a kingdom mindset. But a kingdom mindset requires three things. First, as we've said earlier, learning. This is directly from Philippians 4:9. Learning and having the right perspective about the gifts that you've been given, enabling you to live your new life in Christ. The second thing it requires is receiving the gifts that you are given. That is, having the right perspective to receive them so that your commitment now is to begin to move in that direction. And then third is to practice the spiritual exercises and the kingdom disciplines regularly so that we can grow and experience a transforming life. So this morning, what we're going to do is we're going to take a look at the first two, and next week, we're going to take a look at what practicing looks like. So let's take a look now at learning. So here's the question for you. What happened at your spiritual birth? How would you answer that question? Well, I've asked hundreds of people that question over the past few years, and most of the time, I get a blank stare. Most believers do not know or are unaware of what happened at their spiritual birth. But there are five gifts that every true believer was given. But they must be open and they must be received. Let's take a quick look at each of the five things that happened at your spiritual birth that will change your life and are foundational for your kingdom mindset. Here's the first one. The Bible says very clearly that you are a new creation. If you are a true believer, a new creation. 2 Corinthians 5:17. Therefore, if anyone is in Christ, he is a new creation. The old has passed away, and behold, the new has come. Now, this is important to understand that you're not a new and improved version of the old you. This literally means you are a new creation, entirely new. Well, what does that mean? Well, that actually is the second gift that you've been given, which is your new life. In chapter 3 of the book of John, Jesus is talking with Nicodemus, who came to him, wanted to know how one gets into the kingdom of heaven. And this is Jesus' answer, but he tells us here that it requires a new life. Listen to the words. Jesus says, "Truly, truly, I say to you that unless one is born of water and the Spirit, he cannot enter the kingdom of God. That which is born of the flesh is flesh. That which is born of the Spirit is spirit." You have a new birth. You are a new life. You have a new creation. You have a new citizenship. You have a new destination. All these things are new about you. Now, included in this new creation and this new life that you have is the new mind. And we talked about that already in verse 5 today in Philippians 2. Have this mind among yourselves, which is yours in Christ Jesus. The fourth thing that happened at your spiritual birth is that you received a new spirit with a new heart. A new spirit, a new heart. Ezekiel 36:26 says, "And I will give you a new heart, and a new spirit I will put within you." We have a new creation. We have a new life. I have a new mind. We have a new heart, a new spirit. And now the fifth thing we have is a new power. For the kingdom of God is not just a lot of talk. It is living by God's power. This was Paul writing to the church at Corinth in chapter 4, verse 20 about this very topic. So these are the five things that are given to every true believer at their spiritual birth. Now, the mindset that you have determines whether you will receive the gifts that God has given you or reject them. You know, you just can't pray for a kingdom mindset. I can't just say, "Oh Lord, give me a kingdom mindset." I wish you could, but it doesn't quite work that way. Obviously, we can pray and position ourselves for that to happen, but we have to go through this process of learning and committing ourselves to it. You can't just pray yourself to maturity as a believer. This is a process that we have to go through. I'm not saying that prayer isn't an important part of that, but we have to go through the process. Now, the second thing that it takes in order to develop a kingdom mindset, the first being learning, is receiving. So receiving means you must receive the gifts that God has given you, enabling you then to develop this kingdom mindset and the power to live a kingdom lifestyle. Now, you can have all these gifts and not know it, and never open or receive them. Or you can learn that I've been given these gifts, but maybe I never open or receive them. This was certainly true for me for many years of my life. And I know that there are some listening right now, and this could be true of you. Now, since many have a wrong perception or mindset, this creates a barrier to understanding. And as a result, they maybe never receive or never commit to the gifts that they've been given. This is so important. In fact, A.W. Tozer, who's a well-known theologian, came up with a very unique quote that speaks to this. And this is what he says: "The most important thing about you is how you think about God. What is your perception of Jesus?" Go ahead, take a moment. What is your perception? Hit chat. Write it in there. What is your perception? Well, in his book, The Crucified Life, A.W. Tozer asks Christians this question: why did Jesus come? Why? Why did Jesus come? What are the first words that come to your mind when you hear that question? Now, answering this question is very important because how you answer the question often determines the mindset that you have. How you see God determines the mindset you have. Now, Tozer says there are two different ways that Christians will answer this question. For those of us in the 20th, 21st century as Christians, many of us might say, and I'm quoting Tozer here, we might say that Jesus came to save me from my sins or to save me from hell so that I could go to heaven. Now, Tozer would argue that that is not the correct answer. Yes, there are elements of the statement that are true. But many who have this mindset think that they're saved and someday I'll go to heaven, but until that happens, I can continue to live my life the way I want to in this world. So this mindset can easily miss out on the transforming power of living in Christ and allowing the world or others to shape me rather than allowing the Word of God or the Spirit of God to shape me. So Tozer points out that the purpose of God is not to save us from hell. The purpose of God is to save us, to make us like Christ. If you only see Jesus as Savior, that's your mindset. You are likely to have a difficult time learning and receiving the gifts that he has given you. If you see Jesus as Lord and King, Savior is what he has done for you, but Lord and King is who he is. He has rescued you now from this fallen world, this body of death, and now he desires for you to experience the transforming of power of Christ living in you. This is a kingdom mindset. This is why the Apostle Paul can say, I can do all things through Christ who strengthens me. Now, most of the first century Jews at the time that Jesus came had a wrong mindset. In the first century, if you were to ask the question, why did the Christ come? The Israelites would have said, to save Israel from the evil Roman Empire who dominated the world at that time, and to set up his kingdom here on earth. That's what they thought. They obviously had a wrong mindset, a wrong view. They were expecting a conquering Messiah, but Jesus came as a suffering servant. This is not what they expected, nor what they wanted. They had a wrong mindset, and this became a barrier to their understanding who Jesus was. And as a result, the vast majority of Israelites didn't receive Jesus. Rather, they rejected Jesus as Messiah because he didn't fit their expectations, their mindset. What is your expectation of Jesus? What is your mindset? Well, let me give you an example of how you can have a mindset, a kingdom mindset. And just like that, flip a switch and all of a sudden, you're back in your worldly mindset. You know, in Mark chapter 8, Jesus is in the northern part of Israel with his disciples, and he asked them a question, who do the people say I am? Some of them said, well, some say you are John the Baptist, or some say you are Isaiah or one of the other prophets. And then Jesus turns to him and he says, well, who do you say that I am? And Peter jumps in and immediately says, you are the Christ, you are the Messiah. Jesus affirms what he has said, and immediately he begins to teach them what's going to happen to Jesus, the Christ, the Messiah. He's going to be turned over to the authorities in Jerusalem. He's going to be beaten. He's going to be crucified, and he's going to die. He's going to be buried for 3 days, but then he's going to rise again. Well, right after he says these things, Peter pulls him aside, and Peter says to him, Jesus, this is not going to happen. It's not going to happen. Immediately in Mark 8:33, Jesus, stepping aside, looks at Peter and the disciples. And this is what he says. Turning and seeing his disciples, he rebukes Peter and he says, get behind me, Satan. And here's the key. For you are not setting your mind on the things of God, but on the things of man. And the very next verse, what Jesus tries to do is bring clarity to who he is and why he's there and how they're to respond. He says these words, calling to the crowd and to his disciples, he said to them, if anyone would come after me, let him deny himself. That is humility. Take up his cross. That is humility. And follow me. A kingdom mindset is one that is set on the things of God, or set on the things of Jesus, or set on the kingdom of God. A worldly mindset is one that is set on the things of this world, a mind that is set on me, or the things that I want, just like Peter was saying. When you became a true believer, you are given a number of gifts enabling you to live this new life in Christ. But this begins with learning and having the right perspective, the right mindset. Jesus came to rescue us from our fallen nature, this body of death, and you now are a new creation. You have a new life in Christ. You've been given a new mind to learn these things that we're talking about, and you have a new heart and a new spirit. You've been given a new power that enables you to live in a new kingdom lifestyle, not the old worldly lifestyle. Listen to what Paul says to the church at Colossae on the same subject. Therefore, if you have been raised up with Christ, keep seeking the things that are above where Christ is, seated at the right hand of God. Set your mind on things above, not on the things that are on earth. In closing, there are two realities, two mindsets. First, there's a mindset that is worldly focused, me-centered. Secondly, there's a mindset that is kingdom focused or Christ-centered. What reality do I live in? What reality do you live in? Do you have the right mindset? These are the questions to think over and reflect on this week in preparation for next week's message, where we'll talk about practicing, and it'll take us to a whole new level. Let me just say this, that I think the verses next week that we're going to cover are some of the most powerful and most significant verses in the entire New Testament. So I look forward to being with you then. We're going to learn how to practice, to position ourselves to receive God's grace and the power that enables us to live with a kingdom mindset. There is nothing more powerful than the name of Jesus. Let's transition now and worship with him. But before we do, let me close in prayer. Father, we just take a moment and just praise you and thank you for the name of Jesus. In this book of Philippians, 39 times, Paul brings the name of Jesus, the Christ, to the forefront of our minds. Lord, as we think about the importance of developing this kingdom mindset, we ask that your Spirit would work in the hearts and minds to give us insights. Help us to discern the worldly mind from the spiritual mind, and give us the strength through your Spirit that allows us to daily humble ourselves to submit to your lordship in our life. Thank you for this privilege and opportunity of being together this morning for your word of God. Now we just commit this time to you in Jesus' name. Amen. God bless. Have a great day.